Usually I share after Roy, but Brother Clyde, this is your fault. Because what I'm going to do at the end requires shouting. And when you said that, it's like, oh my goodness. What more confirmation could I need? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saying that, because it just really blessed me. This is a word that the Lord gave me before we went to France, actually. Now, it's not an old word, because I've preached it before, taught it. I'm not a preacher. I teach, exhort. But it was because of a vision that the Lord gave me, okay? And that's where I'm headed. And at the end of this, we're all going to stand up and shout. And so in Psalms 55, something that the Lord gave me quite a while ago, it's 55:17, it says, David's friends had turned on him, okay? And they were trying to destroy him. And so David was crying out to the Lord, and he said, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know, so many times when we pray, do we really believe that God is hearing us? Right. I know that's been a problem that I've had in my life. But I honestly think that when we pray and we cry out to the Lord, he does hear us. And I think he hears us every time, okay? Yes. And I just want to recognize that a couple of our spiritual children are here this morning. And we're so glad to see them, Melissa and Stephen Walls. They drove an hour and a half to come and be with us this morning, to be with you. And it blesses me, just blesses me so much. And then in John 20, this is right after Jesus was resurrected. In fact, this is the first time that the disciples had seen him. So whatever he did right after he resurrected, as far as the disciples are concerned, I think is pretty important. You know, this is what he said to them. It says, then the same day at evening, between the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And he ministered to where they were first. Okay, he knew they were terrified. I mean, you know, Jesus had just been crucified, and who knew who was going to be next, you know? And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And that just struck me so much when I read this, because how did the Father send Jesus? What did he do when he was here on earth? Okay, he had all power. He had all authority. Everyone that came to Jesus, he healed. He did not leave anyone out, okay? He didn't say, no, I don't think it's the Lord's will for you to be healed today. You know, come back in a month or so after you've suffered for a while. You never heard anything like that come from the Lord, okay? He healed everyone. Yes. And that's what he said. I'm sending you in that same power and in that same authority. It's ours. We just have to press into it, okay? We just have to believe it, number one. But we have to ask and keep on asking until we walk in that realm that he walked in. And this is going to come into play later for me. And it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I think he did that before, didn't he, honey? I think this is at least the second time that he did that. And then in Psalms 92:10, it says, let me just get it so I don't mess it up. Wrong one. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Okay, and that's the desire of my heart, to be anointed daily with fresh oil, really. I think we can be, and we should be, anointed daily with fresh oil. Because that's Jesus. He was the anointed one, okay? He was the anointed one. And to me, when we receive that anointing, we're just receiving him afresh, okay? So that as we go about our day, he can minister through us and touch other people. So that's why I love that verse. And then in Luke 16:16, there's another thing that he showed me that I just absolutely love. This is Jesus when he was talking to the Pharisees, and they had derided him because of what he was speaking, okay? And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John." Okay, until John, there was the law and there was the prophets. "Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached." What are we talking about today? And for this past several years, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Not just the pastors, not just the leaders, not even just the Sunday school teachers. We are all pressing into that, okay? We're pressing in to Jesus. We're pressing in to the kingdom of God. And that's why I love that passage so much. When Roy and I were getting ready to go to France the second time, right, honey? I was just before the Lord studying and praying. I always try to have two or three things to minister while we're over there. And I had a vision, okay? And in my vision, we were in a church and we were just worshiping the Lord. The Holy Spirit came down and filled us with a mighty outpouring. The wind was blowing. The lives that were in that room were transformed. I mean, it was just like the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so I didn't share that word much because when we were in France, I've shared it more since we've been home, because the French people are kind of baby Christians, I guess I would say. But I did share it in one place, and I'm telling you what, the Lord just really moves. So I think the next time I go back, and maybe even when I go to Indonesia, because this is one thing, the Lord rebuked me for it when we were in Canada. I said, "Lord, these people aren't ready to receive this word." He says, "Who are you to say they're not ready to receive this word?" He said, "I told you to share that word. Now you get up and share it." And the Lord did move. It was awesome. He just really moved. I mean, I was just amazed. And of course, repented. But, you know, you don't know. If God speaks something to you, like our brother shared, where's the one that shared about the dog? That was awesome. I love that. And I'm going to challenge Roy with that, you know, because that is one of the things that when you receive prophecy or you hear prophecy, it could be something that you smell, okay? Because Roy, you're not going to minister on that this morning, are you?
What?
On prophecy?
No.
You could share those five things. Five senses. Okay. There's five senses, and I'll just tell you this one and what happened, all right? When the Lord showed this to Rory and I, when you minister prophetically, it could be something that you smell, all right? And the way that this came home to Rory and I is we were in a home meeting, and Rory and I walked in because we had to be up front, and as I walked by this young woman, she said, "Oh," she said, "you smell like chocolate." I said, "What?" And Roy and I were looking at each other, and she says, "Yeah." She says, "Chocolate, a very fine, precious, expensive chocolate in the eyes of the Lord. And he just wants you to know that that's what he thinks about you. You are precious to him. You are a prize. You are something that is unique to God." And so, you know, Roy's used that all over, wherever he's ministered on the five senses. But anyway, the Lord can use our senses when we minister, prophetically or any other way. So, my thing is, we need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is something that should happen over and over again. When we come to church, when we're at home, okay, open your heart. Say, "Lord, fill me, anoint me again, afresh, with your Holy Spirit. So that, would you mind going to the piano for me? Because I need you to praise the Lord as loud as you can. Because this is one thing that really, God loves our praises, okay? Do you know that when we praise and worship the Lord, it draws him to us? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. So if we wanted to be, we want to be inhabited by God, we need to praise him. We need to worship him. We need to cry out to him. And in my vision, all the people did was stand up. Everybody stand up. And they just cried out unto the Lord with shouting, okay? Pressing into God and crying out and saying, Lord, baptize me afresh with your Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to do today. Okay? Just cry out to the Lord like you never have before and ask him to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. Lord, we just cry out to you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need your presence. We need a fresh anointing. We need fresh power, Lord. We need healing to flow through our hands, Lord, to others. Oh God, a spirit of prophecy, Lord. Anointing, Lord, to walk as you did on the earth, Lord, with power and authority, oh God. We cry out, Jesus. We cry out, Lord, for your anointing to come into this place to touch each one, Lord. Give us visions, Lord. Give us healing for those of us that need healing, Lord. Give us, oh God, power. We ask you for power. Power in our lives, Lord. Power, Lord. We just shout unto you, Father. We shout unto you, Lord God, with our voices. We shout unto you, Lord, with our lives, oh God, to love you, to serve you, Lord, to not be ashamed of what you have given us, oh God, but, Lord, to be a blessing to those that we are in the midst of, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Oh, God, you are worthy, Lord. You're worthy of all of our praise. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that you have given, Lord Jesus, to help us, Lord, to move in boldness. Oh, God, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Lord, to preach, Lord, to share the kingdom of God, oh God, with those that we come in contact with. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for your anointing. We praise you, Lord. Oh, God, pour out your spirit on this church, Lord. Set them on fire for you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your anointing, oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
I just want to encourage you that when you're in your prayer time, or when you're in your car, whenever you would think of this scripture where they were filled with the Holy Spirit and power, I want you to ask the Lord for it. Press into it, just like Jesus said, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it.
Amen. Jesus is wonderful. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Go to John chapter 1. Going to look at John chapter 1, and we're going to look at a couple of things here, and then we'll go to some other scriptures. Not sure exactly where all we're going to go, but we're going to go. Yes, amen. Amen. You know, one thing that is interesting, Mark, about that word that you gave me is I have a very poor sense of smell in the natural. Amen. A very poor sense of smell in the natural. But boy, when I smell something, I know. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Amen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is a This is a direct reference back to Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I want you to just look at it. In the beginning, God. And then He created everything that we see. And I know that a lot of the school systems are trying to say, no, it was all happenstance and that we are just a blob of material and so on. But in the beginning, God created. How did He create? He spoke something into existence. He said, let there be, and there was. Let there be light. Let the light be separated from darkness. Let there be planets. Let there be all these different things, stars, moon, sun, and so on. He said, let there be, and it happened, right? Amen. And so John is speaking here, and he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm sure that, just go down to verse 14. Now, you understand and recognize that the Word was Jesus, right? Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. The Word was Jesus. That Jesus became the full embodiment of the Word that spoke the world into existence. Amen? Okay, so it's a creative Word. When God spoke, something was created. When Jesus spoke, things were created. Things happened. When Jesus spoke to the Syrophoenician woman, she said, go, your daughter is healed. The daughter was healed. He spoke to the centurion. He said, your servant is healed. He just spoke a word, and things began to happen. Amen? Because the creative Word of God, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The creative Word of God became flesh and began to manifest itself once again on the earth. Amen? Amen. A lot of people would like to say, well, that was when Jesus was here. What I want you to understand is the Word of God is still flesh. Because Jesus is inside of you and me. So in other words, let me put it in these other words. So you have the creative Word of God inside of you. You have inside you, I mean, how many of you are saved? How many are saved? Few of you. The rest of you can get saved here in just a few minutes, and then you can have the creative Word of God in you, all right? But the creative Word of God is inside of you because Jesus is inside of you, all right? I was reading a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and he made this example, and I thought it was really, really kind of neat. And he said this, he said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Remember that? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so here he is, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And then he went on to say, now we believe that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but what we need to do is we need to picture, just kind of picture in your mind that Jesus is standing right next to you. Okay? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So C.S. Lewis said, just picture for a moment that Jesus is standing right beside you. And then you begin to get something from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and begins to say, I want you to go and to pray for this person. I want you to go and do this. And you say, oh God, what am I supposed to do? Picture Jesus standing next to you and stepping out in front of you. And you begin to... Oh, I got to go to a scripture. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. No, it's Ephesians chapter 5. Yes, Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. How can I imitate Him if I don't see Him, if I don't know what He's doing? How am I going to know what He's doing if I'm not in His presence? Okay, so I first have to be in His presence, and I have to be able to hear from Him. I have to see what He's doing. And if we begin to picture Jesus standing next to us, and then we begin to get this idea, well, I need to go pray for this person, and we see Jesus, we begin to picture Jesus going and praying for that person, then all we do is be an imitator of Him. Hello? Amen? All right. So we're going to be an imitator of Him. Why? Because there's a creative Word inside of you. The Word of God has been made flesh, and it is still flesh today. The Word of God is in you. All right. In fact, oh, I forgot about this verse. Where is it? In Book of Romans, for the Word of God, I think it's the Word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Amen. Amen. I got to remember that scripture. This is just something the Lord just shared with me just three nights ago. All right. And the Word of God is inside of you. The Word of God is there, and it's there for you and me to begin to manifest, speak it out, all right? Now, Nancy was talking about, and I didn't know what she was going to share, but Nancy was talking about pressing into God, and she was talking about a fresh anointing and a fresh anointing of God coming on our lives every day. Why do we need that? Because there's a Word of God inside of you that wants to come out.
Yes, amen.
Amen? There's something inside you that God wants to break out of you and bring forth to touch the lives of others. Amen? Yes. All right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to cut some of this. Not too much. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. As we have traveled around, we left in January and made a trip out to California and up and down California and then back through Arizona and New Mexico and back home. We were gone for 3.5 weeks, something like that. And May, we went over to France, Belgium, and Germany, got back in June, middle of June. Then we just got back from a trip into Canada, Ohio, Canada, Michigan, and back home, and so on. And in a little over a month, we're heading to Indonesia. We'll be gone December 6th. We leave for Indonesia, and we'll be there until January 4th, I think it is, going over. And a couple of our granddaughters are disappointed about that, but that's the way it is. What? You're going to miss Christmas? Yes, we're going to miss Christmas. Amen. But that's okay. We're going because, anyway, the Lord is just, it's just the way it is, okay? And so we're following our nose, Mark, and following what God is speaking. But as we've gone into many different churches, when we were in France and Germany and Belgium, 30 days we were gone, and we spoke in 20 different locations, but we spoke over 30 times in those 30 days. And we had 5 days off, and the only reason we had five was because the day we arrived, that meeting was canceled. And then we had 4 days all at one time. The rest of the time, we were in meetings, sometimes 2 and 3 a day, and just busy. And we were in many different churches, many different places. And I find that there's a lot of churches where they are ignorant of the gifts of God. They're ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Oh, I mean, some of them could say, well, that's 1 Corinthians 12. Well, what about Romans 12? It's there too. And they don't know that. And they know some of what they are, but they don't know how they operate. They don't know these things, okay? So he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And yet many of the churches are ignorant. They not only don't preach about them, they don't allow them to take place in the midst of the church. And what I want you to see is God is speaking. The Word of God is within you. It's a creative Word. It's a Word that God wants to break out. He wants to bring forth to touch the hearts and lives of others. And too many people say, well, I'm not a preacher. Doesn't say here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, pastors. He doesn't say, now, concerning spiritual gifts, apostles and prophets. He says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, church, body of Christ, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand what these gifts are and that you have a gift inside of you, and God wants that gift to come out, to be manifested out of you. One of the things I wondered if Nancy was going to do when she got up this morning was what she did over in France, okay? We got over in, or no, it was in Germany. We were in Germany, and she looked at John and me. John was our good friend that arranged the whole trip for us and everything, and he was raised up in our church and has been a missionary to France for 40-some years. And she looked at us, and she says, "I believe God wants us to pray for the grandmothers." We looked at her and looked at each other and said, "What?" Just a minute. Just a minute. And said, we said, "Well, okay." So we spoke to the pastor and he of the church, who was translating in German for us, because John knows French but not German. And so Pastor Renner said, "Well, okay." So he called the grandmothers up, and we began ministering to the grandmothers, and she prayed, and the Holy Spirit began to fall upon those grandmothers. And I mean, it was a tremendous thing. And there was an 89-year-old grandmother that sat on the end row in the front, like over here to my left as I'm looking there. And when the service was over, she grabbed a hold of Nancy. She said, "Oh, thank you, thank you." She says, "I have felt as though I had no use. I was done just waiting to die and to go be with Jesus. But now I know God still wants to use me." She said, "And I have been inspired. I'm going to start a grandmother's intercession group." Whoa, glory to God. I'll tell you something, but here's what I began to sense. If you're still breathing, your heart is still beating, God still wants to use you. Woo! It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. What matters is that you understand there's something inside of you that wants to break out of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. He wants to do what He wants to do. Amen. Let me let you in on a little. How many of you filled with the Spirit? Oh, we got a lot better hands this time. Amen. All right. Filled with the Spirit. How many of you understand the Holy Spirit is prophetic? And He likes doing prophetic things. Just a neat little secret for you that a lot of people don't understand. They really don't. "Oh, but I'm not prophetic. I'm not a prophet." I didn't say you were a prophet. I said there's something inside of you called the Holy Spirit who happens to be prophetic, and He likes to do prophetic things. He likes to do things that put us out of our comfort zone at times. And too often isn't convenient for us. Yeah, I had to go there. Yeah. But that's all right too. God, the Holy Spirit, enjoys doing these things. All right? Now, let me go. Oh, Lord. Let's go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 1. I told you that John 1 is a direct reference back to Genesis 1. All right? But Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." But then down in verse 26, I think it is. In 26, "Then God said, 'Let us,'" who's the us? "'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.'" And I'm going to just stop right there. Why does God say, "Let us make man according to our image and according to our likeness"? In other words, the whole purpose of God was to create mankind to live like He does. Hello? Do you really understand? For sake of explanation, we understand we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we don't have three gods. Right? They are one. Jesus said, "My Father and I are one." Jesus also said that when the Holy Spirit comes, He is going to speak of me. He won't speak of Himself. He'll only speak of me. Jesus only spoke of the Father. The Father only spoke of the... What am I saying? What I'm saying is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were so united, so together, so complete in unity. There's no jealousy. There's no rebellion. I mean, if Jesus did something, God didn't say, hey, wait a minute, I wanted to do that. That didn't happen. Hello? Amen? When the Holy Spirit does something, Jesus says, now wait a minute here. I get the glory. No, no, no. There's no jealousy. There's total, complete unity. And God says, let us make man in our image. In other words, let us so fill him with ourselves that man lives together in total peace and total unity. The culture of man becomes the same as the culture of God, the culture of heaven. So that what they see in heaven is manifested here on earth. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And he said, pray this, thy will be done on earth in the same way it is in heaven. In other words, the same culture, the same unity of spirit, the same unity of heart, the same desire, everything that is the same in heaven to be done here on earth. That is the Great Commission, by the way, brothers and sisters. Hello? Some of you are agreeing and some of you are thinking so hard, smoke's about to come out your ears. Amen. That is the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, and make disciples. He doesn't say, go and get people saved. Now, you're not going to make them a disciple if you don't get them saved. However, what he's saying is change their lifestyle. Well, what's the lifestyle supposed to be like? I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of spiritual gifts. I want you to understand there's something inside of you that is greater than you. There's something inside of you that longs to come forth, that longs to come out, that longs to manifest itself and to bring the culture and the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It's called the Holy Spirit, and it's called the gifts of the Spirit. Because where the Holy Spirit is, His gifts are. And so when we begin to have relationship with Him, we begin to spend our time with Him, and we begin to really know Him and walk in unity with Him, there's something inside of us that just begins to come out. Amen? Have you ever been around someone that had just had a really good, I'll just put it in these terms, a really good Italian meal that was loaded with garlic. Ever? And you just walk up to them and, oh, well, you had garlic today, didn't you? Person didn't have to say a thing. It's just there. Anybody ever experienced something like that? Yeah, a couple of you, all right? Some of you are afraid to raise your hands. That's all right. Amen. Well, that's what God is saying. He wants us to be so full of Him, in such a relationship with Him, that as we walk with Him, people begin to, here you go, Mark, people begin to smell Jesus on us. They that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Amen. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. Me? Yeah, you. Oh, but Brother Roy, I mean, you know, I'm not a preacher. Fine. Someone said it earlier. What gift do you have? Oh, I know. It was Mark was talking to me about the gift of God that had given me. What's your gift? What is the gift that God has given to you? That's number one. Number two, what are you doing with it? Hello? I remember a story of a young man who was graduating. He'd asked his dad for a I think it was a Mustang. Anyway, a really nice car. He asked his dad for this Mustang, and he was just really excited after graduation that his dad was going to give him the title to a brand new Mustang. And so graduation is all over, and he goes back and he sees his dad, and his dad hands him this box, this little box, and he opens it up thinking inside that box is the title to my Mustang. I am so excited. He opens it up and he finds a Bible. And he is so upset at his dad that his dad gave him a Bible when he specifically asked for a brand new Mustang. He stormed off and he didn't see his dad for another 25, 30 years. Wouldn't talk to him, wouldn't see him, nothing. And finally he got the news his dad had just died. And he was beside himself because for all these years he hadn't seen his dad, hadn't talked to his dad, nothing. And so he began to just kind of go through some of his papers and some of the photographs and so on, and he's crying. And he found the Bible. And he opened up the Bible and began to look through the Bible. And inside the Bible was a title to a brand new Mustang that he could have had, he could have been using, but he never opened the gift his dad had given him. How many of us have a gift that we've never opened up? We've never even tried to use. The gift of God that is inside of you is the thing that will bring you peace and joy and great satisfaction, great fulfillment. The gift of God that's inside of you is what God wants you to bring, wants to use you in. Amen. Now, Mark said, I have this gift, and I am traveling, and I'm going a lot of different places, and I just told you where we've been, and we're going in December to Indonesia, and I'm just wondering where God's going to send us next year, especially after that word. But that's okay. I know God's going to do it, okay? I don't have any fear. I'm just saying, okay, God, where do you want me to go? But what's the gift that you have? Well, brother, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a traveling evangelist. But what is the gift? Well, I don't know. Then what are you doing to find out? Spend time with Him. Spend time in His presence. Amen. The culture of God. God, or the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, never has any jealousy. They're constantly in unity, one with another. It's just a constant flow. It's never a separate thing. And God wants that same thing in you and me, to where the presence of God just begins to flow out of us, because we begin to live according to His plan and His order in every way. Amen. Turn with your Bibles to, let me finish up here. Verse 28. Verse 27, God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Notice that, in the image of God, He created a male and female. He created them. So He created us both, okay? Then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And we look at that too often. We think, well, what that really means is just have children. And it does. But it also means to take what you have and begin to give it out to somebody else. Be fruitful and multiply. Begin to take what you have. Have you ever read the story of the parables, where he gives the parables to the men, and then the master goes off, and what happens? The parable, the one has 5 talents, and he comes back and he says, here's your 5 plus I got 5 more. Here's your 2, and gave you 5, I gave you 2 more. And God, the master just blesses them and so on. That tells me that whatever talent, whatever gift you have, if you use it, God will give you another one. Hello. So we got to begin to use those gifts. Then he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Fill the earth with what? The image of God. The presence of God. The unity of God. Filling the earth with Him, with the kingdom of God. Be more specific, Roy. The culture of the kingdom of God. The reality. You know, we travel in a lot of different places, and I find the culture of France is different from the culture of the United States. Can I go a little bit further? I find the culture of Ohio is different from the culture of Missouri. It is. Now, Stephen back there, he can tell you, all right? He married Melissa and moved up here, and he found out things are a little different up here, amen? And it's true, wherever you go. I mean, you can go into West Virginia, and it's different from Ohio. Come on. All right? What are we after? Humanity is after the culture of the kingdom of God. And that's what's inside you and me. And we've got to begin to let it come forth, okay? Now, I'll skip on that. Oh, one more real quick. But as you're doing that, turn to Luke chapter 10. You sang a song a little while ago, "Let It Rise." And Jim leaned over to me and he said, "Let it." And I said, "Right. Let it rise." See, too often we think that we've got to just pump something up. We've got to really work hard. We've got just, no, you spend time in the presence of God and it'll just start rising. It becomes, the word of God becomes like yeast inside of a lump of dough. And it just begins to do its work. It just begins to rise. And it just begins to come forth. And the next thing you know, you find yourself in Walmart or Myers or Lowe's or someplace else. And all of a sudden, you're talking to somebody about the Lord. And you're letting things of the Lord is coming out of you. Why? Because it's just begin to rise. Let it. Let it. Too many times we hold it down. Let it rise. Let it go forth, okay? All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." So the Lord is sending out 70, right? Now, of those 70, probably 12 of them were his disciples. So that means that 58 of them were not what we would call his disciples. Who are they? What's their names? Can you give me the name of one? Who are these 58? Who are they? Yeah. They're you. It's you. It's me. It's us. Now, look what happens. He goes on, he sends them out. He gives them some instructions, and I won't go through all of the instructions. Just look at verse 9. "And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." So they're not just preaching, they're healing the sick. So in other words, they are being used of God to heal the sick. They're being used of God in the gifts of the Spirit, okay? Because healing is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And guess what, folks? The Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. This is before the day of Pentecost. And yet here they are being used. The gifts of the Spirit are beginning to operate in them. Oh, go ahead and go on down to verse 17. I think it is. Yeah, verse 17. "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." So they're not just healing the sick. They're not just preaching and healing the sick. They're casting out devils. The Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. Now, a few moments ago, many of you raised your hand and said, "You're filled with the Holy Spirit." So you have something inside of you that these guys didn't even have yet. Hello? And yet they still moved by the Spirit of God. They still, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit still operated in them. Even though they weren't filled with the Spirit, the Spirit of God still had access because they heard a word. Jesus said, "You go and you start telling people." Now we say preaching, but you start telling the people the kingdom of God has come. Oh, and while you're doing that, heal the sick and cast out devils. Matthew chapter 10. "As you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the leper. How? As you go. Okay? Preach the kingdom of God is coming, and as you go, that's verse 7 and 8, I think it is, or 8 and 9, something like that. God is wanting to use you every day. How many of you heard the song, God is on the Move? I think that's the title of it. God, I know. God is on the move in every way or something like that. How's he doing it? In you, and in me. So that as we go, wherever we go, whatever we do, there's something inside of us that wants, oh, there's somebody that needs something. And we begin to just be used of God to speak into their life. We begin to just, 1 Corinthians 14. I was going to quit, but I got to share this with you. 1 Corinthians 14. How many of you know God is love? Amen? All right. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue love. Pursue God. In all that we do, we pursue God. We pursue that relationship with Him. But look what else. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, I could tell you a real funny story about that, but desire, it means to really go after. Look for and go after. So when I say to you, what is your gift? The Lord is saying, go after something. Look through the gifts of the Spirit. What is the gift that you really feel an affinity for, that you really desire? Man, I'd really like to see this start happening in the church. You know, I mean, we like to really see some healings taking place in the church and some miracles. Then go after it. Well, but I've never seen any. So go after it. Well, but what if it doesn't happen? So go after it. I remember the story of the pastor. I forget his name. He was saying how he began to see about healing, and so he began to pray, and he said, "Okay, God, I'm going to step out. We're going to go after some healing." And someone came up and said, "My so and so is in the hospital and sick." He says, "Well, let's go." He went and prayed for him, and the person died. Oh, great. So he went and found somebody else. They died. Went and found somebody else. They died. He said, "Man," he says, "I am batting zero." He says, "But God, I'm going after this. Bring me another one. Bring me." He prayed for 100 people before he ever saw one healed. Now he's seeing miraculous things take place all the time. Why? He went after it. He went after, pursue love and desire, go after spiritual gifts. Then he says, but especially that you prophesy. Now, go to verse 3, okay? Because verse 2 speaks about tongues. So verse 3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever edified anybody? Have you ever encouraged anybody? Have you ever comforted anybody? I see a couple heads nodding. The rest of you, I'm going to pray for you to get saved. Amen. You mean to tell me you've never seen a child skin his knee and you didn't go up and comfort him? You've never seen anybody who was depressed and go up and, "Hey, you know what? It's okay. We're going to make it." You never did anything like that? Never? You never encouraged anybody? Well, sure you have. That's the spirit of prophecy. That's that prophetic anointing, the spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit who is prophetic, who lives inside of you, who likes to do prophetic things. That's what he's doing. Oh, no, that was just me. No. The Holy Spirit began to move on you to do something. Hello? Oh, I forgot to read verse 2 of chapter 12. It says something like this. It says, "For you know how you were led by these dumb idols." And I read that here a little while ago, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke this to me. He said this, "Just as we were led into sin easily, easily led. Oh, no, no, I chose, you didn't choose to do that. You were easily led into sin. In the same way, you can be easily led into the things of God. That's why he says, you're ignorant of spiritual gifts, but you know that as Gentiles, you were led away by these. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. You can be led just as easily. Okay, so we see someone who's depressed. We notice that they're having a bad day, and we just go up and, hey, you know, do you need a hug? Do you need, you know, I just want you to know that God loves you, and I'm praying for. I know you're going through it right now, but you're gonna make it. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you. Oh, some of you are just too quiet. Amen. Well, how does all this come about? It comes because you spend time with Him. It comes because you know Him. It comes because there's something inside of you and you recognize that which is inside of you and you begin to give of yourself to Him and He begins to manifest Himself through you. Amen. All right? Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He who prophesies or he who speaks, there's three, and I'm just going to real quick. There's three. There's the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the office of a prophet. They're all three different. Okay? And that, if I tried, that would be like about 3 hours of preaching that I'm going to skip over. Just know, it's three different realms. Yeah, just say thank you. Amen. That's three different realms. This is that realm of the spirit of prophecy. In other words, the Holy Spirit inside of you who happens to be prophetic, wanting to do prophetic things. Revelation, I think it's chapter 19, I think it is, says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when you begin to testify of the things of Jesus, and you begin to share the things of Jesus, you begin to just comfort one another. You begin to just pray for one another and to help one another. That's the Holy Spirit moving through you, the spirit of prophecy moving through you to minister into their lives and hearts. Amen? Amen. Oh, just going to quit. Not done. Just going to quit. Because when he says to quit, you quit. Amen? Brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart, the world, the United States, is in trouble. Hello? People have accepted what scientists have said and what our politicians have said. This is the answer, this is the answer, this is the answer. And all they've done is create more problems. And Christians are really the only ones that really have the answer. Because Christians that are seeking to know Him are endeavoring to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Well, what about these other religions? They have no answer for salvation. They have no real answer for how you got here. They have no real answer for how to fix the situation that our world is in. Only through Jesus do we have that answer. And God wants the church. God is speaking to the church today more than any other time in our lives that this is the day and the hour for the church to rise up and be the church that He died for. Not a church that sits in the pews every Sunday and goes back and says, good message, pastor, and goes home and continues to do their thing all week and come back next Sunday and sit and listen to them. No, but what God is after is a people that so know Him. Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. They so know him. They so come into relationship with him that out of them flows rivers of living water. Out of them, out of you, out of me. Who's the 58? Who is, what are their names? They're not the big name preachers. They're not the apostles, Peter, James. They're not Matthew. They're not John. They're none of those. No, it's the 58. It's those that went out and just let God be God in the midst of them. That's what God's after. A church that will say, I want to so know him that I come to church that I might worship him. We sang it earlier. We sang it. I come to worship you. They so come and worship him. They so come to know him and relate with him that as they go to work and as they go here and they go there, whatever they do, there's something that just begins to exude out of them, begins to manifest the glory of God. And people know that you are Christian because of your love. They know who you are because of the way you live. And they may ridicule, they may speak against you, they may make fun of you, but they know there's something different and it's something that they really want for themselves. Why? Because they see Jesus coming out of you. Amen? Amen. And the presence of God is here in this place to even change hearts and lives. And to bring forth out of the abundance of God the fullness of His Spirit. For the presence of God is here and is moving across the land and even in different world, different lands, to even show the presence and the glory of God. And I am raising up a people, says the Lord, that will know me, and a people that will walk in total unity with my Spirit, looking not to themselves, looking not to this one to the right nor to the left, or this one or that one, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, and standing in presence with him and allowing him to even bring forth out of the kingdom of God and out of the heaven itself the very glory of God, that I might reveal my love for all of my creation, and I might draw my creation unto myself. And have you not read that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men? Yea, this is a day in which I am calling my church as never before to begin to lift me up in their life, lift me up in all that they do, lift me up in all that they say, that the world might know that I love them and that I have given of myself for them. And I desire to change them, and I desire to change all things around about, says the Lord. Yes, this is the day that I'm calling my people to come forth in me, to know me, and to let my presence be seen through you, says the Lord. Amen. Can you stand? Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Come on, worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that the sister back here that has had the stroke, she's doing so much better. But Father, we ask for a complete healing in the name of Jesus. We ask you right now, mighty God, that you will touch her and draw her and heal, Father, by the power of your Spirit. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. And let the word of God that is in you, son, begin to come forth out of you, even as you begin to walk around, even in amongst the co-workers and the people that you are with. Let the things of God come, and even your family. I don't know your family. I'm not sure I even know you, but I think I've seen you once before, but I'm seeing a family. I'm seeing people close to you and then seeing people that you work with and so on. And God is saying that I want you to just begin to reveal the glory of God that is in you. For you have a heart and a desire to know me. You have come that you might sit in my presence. And I would say to you that as you hide yourself away before me, I will even speak into your heart and into your life and give you revelations of myself, says the Lord. Allow those things to be confirmed. Allow those things to be recognized, even by those that are in authority over you. But as you do that, says the Lord, you'll begin to see God using you more and more. And the confusion and the doubts as to whether this is of the Lord or not will begin to fade away, and you will know that you've heard from the Lord, says the Lord. Let's worship Him. Amen. Amen. Come on, worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless You, O God. We bless You, Lord. We magnify Your holy name, Lord Jesus. You are holy. You are holy. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. You can worship the Lord better than that. Come on. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Now, forgive me. I know who you are, but I don't remember your name. Amen. Julie. Amen. And the Lord just keeps drawing me back to you, Julie. And I don't know why. I don't know what He wants to say yet. Okay. I'm looking. Amen. But the Lord is saying, yes, the Lord is saying, for you have found a love that you didn't think was possible. And it's not just a love for Him, but it's a love for the Lord. It's a love for the things of God. And there has been birthed inside of you a greater desire to know Him. Even in the last year or so, there's been something that's been stirring in your spirit. And you've been finding some things and recognizing that the Lord has been speaking to you about some things. And as you've been pondering those things in your spirit and in your mind, God has just been confirming this and this and this. And things are beginning to happen. And God wants you to know that He has not forgotten you. He's not forsaken you. The past is over. The past is gone. It's done. You have become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And God is drawing you forth into Him to even stand in a new day and a new hour and to declare the very things of God by your life. For those things that I have revealed to you, I have confirmed, and I'm going to even reveal more, says the Lord. I'm going to open up your spirit and your mind that you begin to know that the things of God are really inside of you. For I have put a creative word inside of you. And as you declare that creative word, you will begin to see many of those that you have cried and prayed for, you'll begin to see their lives begin to change as the creative word goes forth and does what only the word can do. For my word will not return void, says the Lord. So speak my word. Let my word be shown. Let my word even come forth out of your mouth, out of your lips, says the Lord, and you will begin to see many things begin to happen in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, come on. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for Charlene. I pray, Lord, that You touch her and heal her by the power of Your Spirit, Father. She stayed home today because she wasn't feeling well. But, Lord, we just come to You and we say that Your arm isn't shortened. Lord, that You can heal her even in her home. Touch her and heal even now in the name of Jesus. That this afternoon, Father, she'll begin to say, something happened to me and I am whole. I am made well in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 How many of you love the Lord? Amen. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Amen. Oh, Jesus. I'm just kind of waiting to see if the Lord wants to say something else to somebody, all right? Amen. Amen. I don't remember if I spoke to you last time I was here or not, but there's a realm of worship inside of you that you touch at times. And you are able to bring others into that. And I won't say you're afraid to do it here. Okay? I won't say that. But you hesitate sometimes. And God is saying, daughter, I gave you a gift. And as you give that gift, as you use that gift, you will see many other hearts changed by the power of my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm not saying just go off and do your own thing all the time. I'm not saying that, okay? You know what I'm saying. But there is an anointing in your voice, and there is an anointing in your spirit that as you play and as you worship God, because I saw you as you were playing earlier, I saw you even in your home just worshiping. And I don't know if you play, have a piano at home or whatever, a keyboard, but actually what I saw was I saw you just walking back and forth through the rooms, just praise, hands lifted, worshiping God, because it doesn't matter if there's a keyboard or not. The worship is something that comes from inside, and that's what's in you. And God says, I'm going to use you to even teach others how to worship. I'm going to use you to teach others how to come into my presence. I'm going to use you, says the Lord. It's a gift I gave to you. You've asked me about it, and I'm going to use you not just to teach some music, but I'm going to use you to teach them how to come into my presence, that they themselves can hear from God for themselves. For it is so important, says the Lord, that we begin to hear from him for ourselves. And worship. Not praise. Praise is wonderful. Praise is great. Praise is needed. Worship is what teaches us how to really hear from Him. And I have given you that anointing, and I'm going to cause it to expand in your spirit and in your heart, says the Lord. And there will be times that you begin to praise, and in the midst, you'll have it all lined out, how you're going to do things, and the Lord is going to begin to move upon you, and you'll just begin to flow by the Spirit of God and forget the agenda and just flow in worship. Let God be God, says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Anybody here that just needs a touch from the Lord? You're maybe feeling a little sick, a little down some way. You need a touch. We'll pray for you right now. Anybody? Right here. Okay. All right. Hey, what did I just teach? Operate the gifts. How many of you feel like you have a gift of healing, or that you would like to see healing really move in your life? Nobody's raising their hand. Come on. Right here. Okay. Anybody else? Come on. All right. Then let's gather around our brother. Come on. You. Amen. Let's go pray for him. Amen. We want to see healing take place, right? All right. Well, what if it doesn't happen? What if it does? Amen. Anybody else have a need? Any kind of a need? All right. No, I think I'm about done. I'll just turn it over to you. Come on. Yes.
I want to say one more thing. I noticed something today, and I don't know how to really say it, except this. We drove up here, and we drove by. I needed to get a little bit of gas, and I realized, I thought, well, maybe there's some gas on down the road just a little bit. So I went down a little bit and turned around. When I came back, I noticed on one side of you is Jehovah's Witness. On the other side of you, the Sikh temple. You're right in the middle. And I had a picture. I don't know if anybody else has done this or not. I said this before, but I had a picture of Golgotha. Thieves on either side, and Jesus in the middle. And God is saying something to you guys. I don't think this is just happenstance. I really don't. Well, it just was a zoning. No. I think God is saying something. He's saying that if I be lifted up here in the midst, here in the midst, just as Jesus was lifted up on the cross between two thieves, amen, then I will begin to draw. But we can either be a church that just has church, has services, or we can be the church that reaches out with the love and the blood of God, of Jesus, to minister into hearts and lives of others. God has put you here in a very unique situation. And it's not just because of beautiful area or anything like that. God is saying, lift me up. Lift me up in the midst of what's on either side of you. And you will see lives changed. And people will begin to know there is a God that lives at Wings. And that they can have their needs met when they go to Wings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, the angel of the Lord encamp around him.